chapter 9. While you're turning there, let me remind you of the couple's retreat that Brother... I can't believe I did that again. Jimmy Cox. I forgot. I looked over and couldn't see him. I thought, well, he got raptured, and I can't even think of his name either. I don't know what I got a mental block about that for. Great day. Brother Nathan's daddy. I just put it that way. Amen. That's March 4th through 6th. Just keep that in mind. And at least I don't see him. Maybe don't y'all tell him. Probably got speaker on back there listening anyway. So, but while you find in Psalms 9, just go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 11 while you're at it. I'm not sure how far we get with what we're trying to do tonight, but we'll get started on it. We'll see how the Lord leads in that. We're going to have just a brief business meeting. It won't take but a few minutes for that at the end of the service. But Psalms 9, and let's stand, please, reading verses 7 and 8. Trying to find out if I'm turning on or not. Am I not? Okay. I think I should be now. Okay, thank you. But the Lord shall endure forever. I like that, just starting out. Amen. The Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. Notice that. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. And let me say this, his judgment is always righteous judgment. Never anything wrong with his judgment. And then we turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter number 11. And let's start reading at verse number 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to meet together in the house of God and sing the songs, pray together, share together, read the Word of God. Then, Father, tonight as we pray, we think of those who are close to our hearts that are sick and have needs, and I pray for them. Then there's those that are close to our hearts that have asked us to pray about special situations in their lives that they're facing, and, Lord, they need help. And I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you'd intervene and that your help would, in a special way, answer prayer and do what needs to be done. Then, Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. I pray you bless it to our hearts and help us as we look at it together. As we think about this subject of judgment, help us, Lord, to handle that as you would have us to do so. And we'll praise you and thank you. Thank you tonight for all that you have done for us and touched our hearts. I do pray for these revivals that's in progress. You bless them, help them, and I pray the power of God be upon them tonight. And we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I started here the other week, last Wednesday night, Brother Clark shared with us, but I started the Wednesday night before that talking about judgment. And I wanted to bring a series on the judgment and talk about that. Someone had asked me a question about something, and I'd run across something else that made me start thinking that way. And I just want to try to share with you. And I pray that God will help us in doing this. It may help us. We heard a great message on Monday night on the cross, and last night a great message on brokenness. And I think if the judgment, if we really get that in our minds and hearts, that we are going to meet the living God one day. He'll help us to break. He'll help us to realize the cross is the only answer there is, and Jesus Christ crucified. And last week, or week before last, when I started this, we talked about the judgment of sinners on the cross of Calvary. I am thankful to God that I shall never be judged as an unsaved man. I was judged at Calvary, already past tense, taking place, and Jesus said, I'll take his place, and he did. He died for me as me. He was made my sin, as and that I might be made his righteousness, imputed back unto me by imputation. I'm glad, thank God, I'm in Christ, justified in him, and that's a good place to be. I'm glad I know that I'm saved. Amen. I really appreciate what Brother McIntosh had to say. Hey, something when that man gets up and testifies, he just stirs my heart. The genuineness of it, the touch of God on it, power of God, and the love of Jesus, just knowing that Jesus saved him one day and picked him up out of sin, made him what he is. I say praise God and the Lamb. Thank God for it. Amen. Blesses my heart. I praise the Lord. I appreciate every testimony for God. I'm glad to see Brother Grant knowing God did something for his family. Amen. That's wonderful, and praise God for it. And it's always good to see somebody get some help and see what God does for them. But tonight, we're going to pick up on this thing of judgment for the saved. And I put it this way, judgment as sons. We're going to be talking about servants later, but right now we're talking about sons, as the sons of God. And let's talk about relationship first of all. And of course, context of the scripture I read here out of 1 Corinthians 11 is the fact of the Lord's Supper and Apostle Paul straightening out some things about the Lord's Supper and writing to him about it. But in this, he's saying for them, examine themselves and so forth. And there's some truths about judgment as sons found in these scriptures that we'll be pointing out to you as we go in the message, that God will help us do so. But this thing about the fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man, and some people say everybody's God their father and everybody's brothers and all that. That sounds good, just not so. Everybody is not my brother, and God is not everybody's father. Jesus looked at a group one day and he said, you are of your father, the devil. And so there's a family that's of the devil. There's a family that is of God. Everybody that is saved and born again is my brother. That's what God said. And so we do have that brotherhood in that sense. But those that's not saved are not my brother. I pray to the good Lord that he'll have mercy upon them and convict them and draw them that they might be saved and become my brother and sister in the Lord. But we need to realize the family of God, special people, a special group, sons of God. And John 1:11, some verses far, he came into his own. His own received him not, but to them that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It's not because of the bloodline, not because of their dad and mother that got saved. It's not because that they willed themselves to get saved. It's not because some other man willed them to be saved. They're saved because God sought them out, convicted them, and drew them and saved them by marvel. Now, I'm not a Calvinist on that either. I believe whosoever will may come. But I want you to know that God had to do the convicting and the drawing. What got a hold of Brother McIntosh was the fact that he picked up God's word and the Holy Ghost took that word of God and spoke to his heart and let him know he's the one who's going to be led. And God began to convict him. That's where conviction started. And God began dealing with his heart. God began dealing with his life. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad for what God did. And that's how he works in hearts and lives. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. 1 John 3:2. Aren't you glad we are now the sons of God? We're not waiting to become the sons of God. We are now the sons of God. We're not waiting to get in the family of God. We're now in the family of God. If we're saved, that is. If we're saved. And Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven. There's a whole lot of people talks about going to heaven and not going. And no song says something about that. And 1 John 2:3-4, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith he knoweth him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth's not in him. Now, I didn't write the book. I'm just giving it to you. And that's what God said about it. And if you don't have a desire in your heart to do what pleases God, you've never been saved. There must be a desire. Now, I realize you may drift from that desire. You may drift away. You may get cold, may get indifferent, but there be something down inside of you that's always wanting to do what God wants you to do. Is that not true? If you're saved, that's true. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you're in a bad shape, and you need to get saved tonight. Again, I report to you that not everybody says, Lord, Lord, enter the kingdom. It's not everybody come to the altar. It's not everybody joined the church. It's not everybody went through the baptistry. It's people that got born again, saved. Amen. Called on God and got down to business about being saved and born in the family of God. And by the way, and it's, I realize there's some things you can learn about leading people to Christ and doing things. And we've tried to teach some of that from time to time. One time I put out a little booklet about leading people to Christ. I think we need to know some things about it. But really, when you come right down to it, what we really need to know is that we're saved. And that other people that's not saved or lost going to hell, they need the same Jesus we got. The best witnessing you'll ever do is tell somebody what Jesus did for you. And ask Jesus come into your heart and life, and that's what you did. And you ask him to save you. You know what words you use, and that's not important. What is important is the heart got opened up to God, and God came in and God saved you by his marvelous grace. Amen. You got saved. I'm glad, praise God. The day I got saved, I'm not sure I remember a whole lot the preacher said. I remember him showing me Romans 10, 9 and 10. I remember that much. But I was crying, and I didn't know a whole lot was going on at the altar except the fact I needed to get saved. I was lost. I needed Jesus. I needed to know I was saved. And he saved me. Hallelujah. I praise God, he saved me by his marvelous grace. He came in. I can't explain all that. I just believe it's real. Amen. Now, the reality, we got to have this relationship. You got to be born again. Got to be saved. But after we get saved, let's look at the reality of it. And as I say reality, I think you'll catch on here in just a minute. Romans 8, 1, therefore, amen, being Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation them which are in Christ. I'm glad there is therefore now no condemnation. In my standing, now there's a difference in my standing and my situation. I guess that's put it that way. But anyway, my standing is in Christ. As far as God is concerned, he sees me in Christ, and therefore he sees me already perfected. Amen. Is that not right? In Christ, God sees me. In Christ, I'm in him. So God sees me perfected in Christ. Outside of Christ, I'm a dirty nothing and wouldn't be able to plea anything, but Jesus Christ cleanses and makes clean. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Let's just get some scripture on this. This will help you. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 12, beginning there. But this man, talking about Jesus, but this man, after that he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected, now get that, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Who's the sanctified? Those set apart. Who's set apart? Those who are in Christ Jesus. We are set apart in Christ. And here in this verse of scripture, if you believe the Bible, you have to believe this. It says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I'm sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart in him. Therefore, I want you to know that I'm perfected forever. Preacher, you don't look perfect. You don't either, tell you the truth about it. But you are in Christ Jesus as far as God's concerned in the salvation experience. We are perfected forever in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And I say hallelujah and praise his name. Let's read on in Hebrews 12 here. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Chooses to forget them. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. That one offering has perfected forever them that are sanctified. We don't need lambs anymore. We don't need any more blood sacrifice. He has once and forever been made. Therefore, We are in Christ Jesus, perfected forever in him. I say hallelujah and praise his holy name. But now, our situation, 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. In verse number 10, that same chapter says, if we say we have not sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And so, and 1 John 2:1 says, now little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, and if you do sin. And he goes on and tells us he's a perpetuation for our sin. And so being that as it is, then we realize that we do sin, we do come short of the glory. I thought you just said we're perfected. We are. In our standing with Christ, we are perfected. Our daily walk of life in this body, we must realize the fact that we have problems and that we do sin and come short of the glory of God. I want you to turn with me in Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. I just want to share just a few thoughts with you. I want to read several verses of Scripture. So I'd like for you to turn there, if you will, please, and read with me as we read this Scripture together. And I pray God speak to our hearts together and help us with this. I do believe that we need to be reminded of this over and over again, because sometimes we feel like, and we do, we come short of the glory of God. We fail God. We sin. You say, preacher, I thought you saved. You don't sin. And we ought not willfully sin, but we do sin. You sin. I don't see a halo on anybody in here. And I certainly don't have one. I realize the fact I come short of the glory of God. I'm in this flesh. And so in verse number 12, chapter 7 of the book of Romans. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Sin becoming exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. There's a slavery term, sold under sin. He said, the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. And said, I'm still in this flesh. Now, spiritually, we've been delivered from the curse of the law. And then we recognize the fact that the natural man, he's condemned by the law. And then that carnal one. Now, and carnality here, not talking about unsaved, but saved people, our flesh. We are defeated by the law. We try to measure up by the law, you get defeated. Because you can't keep the law. Nobody ever could keep the law. If a man could keep the law, he wouldn't have thought himself lost without God. But the law came as a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by the grace of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. And aren't you glad that law came? Now, law is good. It's spiritual. It's right. God gave the law. It's right. Everything good about it. But it's us that's wrong. And God brought the law in to show us where we were wrong and to help us so that we can get right with God and be saved. Now, I'm talking about judgment. You say, preacher, you're going a long way around it. I may be going a long way around it, but I want you to get this, because you are a two-nature person. And we need to understand this. And there's a great conflict going on between the spirit and the flesh. That which is born on the inside is of God, loves God, wants to do what's right before God, has a desire, but then there's the flesh. That carnal part that always wants to do what's wrong. And let's read these verses, it'll help you. Verse 15. Here's a conflict of the potentiality that's in our lives. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent in the law that it's good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He said, they sin in me. And if you say there's no sin in you, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. That's what I just quoted out of 1 John. That's what God said. And we need to understand the fact that we do have that problem with the flesh. Now notice as we look in verse number 18, here's, and each one of these starting with a 4, and notice here purposes in our lives. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That'd be good if everybody could learn that. There's nothing good in our flesh. Absolutely nothing.
The best we do in the sight of a holy God is as filthy rags, Isaiah said. I mean, the very best we can do. We can work our fingers to the bone, be faithful in charge, do everything under heaven that needs to be done, and still die and go to hell if we're not born again. Amen. Flesh can't, nothing good in the flesh. Flesh can't help itself. Flesh couldn't pull itself up. Flesh, Adam and Eve tried to do it in the flesh. They sewed fig leaves together. They tried to make it right. They tried to get where they could have fellowship with God. They tried with the flesh, but it didn't work. It took a shedding of blood. And they didn't know what to do. They didn't understand that. They didn't know what to do, Brother Gary. They just knew they needed to do something. They found out they were naked. They wanted to cover their nakedness, so they at least they wanted to cover their nakedness. I give them credit for that. And that's more the desire than some people have today. Amen. But they had that desire, and so they tried fig leaves, but no blood was shed. And God came on the scene and said, that won't do. Man's religion will be all right until they have to meet God. Amen. They can do religious things and feel pretty good on the inside. They can make themselves think they're doing good. And people over and over say, I'm doing pretty good, preacher. I don't do this, don't do that, and I do this and do the other. I don't get anybody to heaven. The only reason you're going to heaven is you got washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got born again, saved by the grace of God, birthed in the family of God. As a miracle took place in your life, at birth you in the family of God, and you became a child of Jesus Christ. Amen, a child of God. We are now sons of God. We're not going to become sons of God. We are now sons of God. And so we're in this conflict, and dwelleth no good thing in us. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Said, how to do it, I'm not looking for, I'm not finding. For the good that I would, I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And he's crying out saying, there's a conflict going on here. I want to do good. When I want to do good, I do bad. And what I don't want to do, I do. What I don't want to do, I don't do. The want-to-ers on the inside made right with God. It's got a want to do right. And the outside, the flesh we're dealing with every day of our lives, it don't want to do good. And there comes a conflict. Now look at verse number 22. Some principles here. For I delight in the law of God. For after that, and the inward man, I'm delighting after that law of God. But I see another law in my members sworn against the law of my mind. And the mind there is connected with that fact of godliness and that on the inner man. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, O wretched man that I am. Here's a cry that I believe all of us from time to time have made. If you've ever endeavored to live for God, You have made this cry, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. And no wretched man that I am. We need to cry that. We are wretched. And in ourselves, and that Brother Grinstead said last night, we're just earthen vessels, clay pots, and need to break for the glory of God. And I thought about Gideon when they broke those lamps. The light did shine. Hallelujah. Hey, let the light shine when we pray. Let the light shine. And notice what happened here. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Saved. No, he's saved. Now he's crying, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I'm in this flesh. I'm in this tabernacle. I'm in this house. It doesn't want to cooperate with what's on the inside. And there's a great conflict going on. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I say hallelujah. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He shall deliver us. Amen. Can we live on the victory side? Sure. How do you do it? Through Jesus Christ, the same one that saved us and birthed us in the family of God to help us day by day. Amen. Paul cried out and said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I say, hallelujah. I'm glad he loved me enough to give himself for me. And Paul said, I'm just dying daily to myself and letting him live out on the inside, live in me, through me. I say, glory, hallelujah. It's good when we can die to self, and we'll get self out of the way and admit to God that he's right, we're wrong, and admit to ourselves that our flesh is no good and that we can't handle it ourselves, and turn it all over to God and say, God, here we are. Let me live for you. Help me do that day by day. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Let me live in that power of God. And by the way, he did say, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Ephesians 5:18. And that's not a one-time happening. That's a day-by-day thing. If we'll let God do that, as we come to God, yield ourselves, confess our sin, and let God help us, he'll fill us. And if you ever get filled, never run over in your saucer. Amen. Then it gets run over and somebody else, they sing that song. I like that about my saucer. Amen. And my saucer running over. We need God helping us day by day. Now notice in the scripture, where am I anyway? I'm looking back in 1 Corinthians again. I'm going to close with that. I'm going to get to what I really wanted to get to. We'll get to that later. But sometime God will help me get there. But I want you to see this tonight. In verse number 28. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread. He said, let's look at ourselves and see where we are. And then he said, let him take of the Lord's Supper. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But then he went on, but when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord and not be condemned with the world. Now we're going to talk about that chastening a little bit later. I'm not going to try to get in that tonight. But I'm simply going to leave this with you. There's a great conflict going on in our lives if we're saved. The flesh is warring against the spirit. That which is born of God on the inside loves God, wants to do right, has a desire to live for God, has a desire to witness, has a desire to be faithful, has a desire for the word of God, has a desire to pray, has a desire for all those things. Then we have the flesh that we're still in, and the flesh doesn't want any of that. The flesh wants to go against all of that. The flesh wants pleasure and ease. The flesh wants to do what pleases it and all that kind of stuff. Our world is wrapped up in loving self, loving pleasure, loving the things of this world. But we have been delivered by the grace and the power of God. Now the conflict. Who wins the conflict depends on what we do. Whether we say, Lord, more wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who's going to deliver us. That's who will help you day by day. And if we examine ourselves, look at ourselves. And I challenge you tonight. Let's look at ourselves. And there may be somebody here tonight say, preacher, I look at myself and I don't even know if I'm saved. You need to come to an old-fashioned altar, get before God and find out where you are. Then you may know that you've been saved, but your life just hasn't been where it ought to be with God. You know what? Psalmist David cried out in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. You got to get right with God yourself before you can help somebody else get right. And so if you'll come tonight and say, Lord, restore to me that joy, he'll restore the joy. He wants that fellowship with you. But you have to be willing to yield yourself unto him. Paul put it this way in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, renewing of your mind. And he talked about that mind a while ago. Renewing of your mind, and prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Only way to do that is to present yourselves, your bodies, that is your flesh, a living sacrifice. What's a sacrifice? A sacrifice dies. Altar's a place to die to self and ask God to help you. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight, God, that we do have help. No wretched man that I am, I do find in Jesus Christ there's help. And Lord, I know I have nothing good in my flesh. Father, absolutely helpless and hopeless. But in Christ Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, Father, by your grace and marvelous mercy, you saved us one day. Birth us in the family of God. We become sons of God. And now, Lord, help us to examine ourselves and see where we are, how we're doing.
May we see the warfare that's really going on, and may we yield ourselves to the inner man and die out to the old man and the flesh. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Stand to your feet, please.